Did you know that when you became a believer, you were made an heir of God? The blessing of heaven is yours. Find out more with Kenneth Copeland and his special guest, Bill Winston, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Welcome, everybody, to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Oh, we got a good thing lined up here today. Bill Winston is with us again.
Praise God.
Let's pray. We get right into today's word lesson. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the blessing of Abraham is ours through Christ Jesus. And we receive it. We walk in it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bill, I can hardly wait to get on with this today. The last 2 days, it's just been such a thrill in my spirit.
Yeah.
I can never hear enough of it about who I am in Christ Jesus. His blood has purged and our sin and washed it. And this whole kingdom-minded, I'm blessed, God is my Father. Amen. I just can't hear enough of that. It just thrills me to no end.
I think we need to just keep hearing it, Brother Copeland.
All the time.
Now, you were mentioning something before we started over in Hebrews. Maybe we could start there. I mentioned Romans chapter 5. And let's go to Romans chapter 5 first,
right.
and we'll start there. And then we'll come back to Hebrews. Now, this Romans chapter 5 is a scripture that really, really helped me to walk in this fullness of who God says I am. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, the Amplified says, reign as kings.
Yes.
And when we're in that position, when I say kings, I'm not talking about necessarily man or woman. I'm talking about this royalty, this position. When we're there, God wants us to be there because only with that attitude can we come in to this earth and do what God has called us to do, which one is take responsibility for it. And somebody has to be in that attitude or mindset of rulership. And as we are under rulers of God, we're sent here by the Lord Jesus Christ with ambassador status, with ministering angels as our entourage that people cannot even see, and provisions that people can't even get to. Man, we're reigning here.
Mm.
And all of that comes through a revelation of this righteousness, because it's only through that fellowship can you receive that revelation. That scripture, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? His strength or abilities belong to me. I mean, that's what this is saying. I can use his abilities on my behalf. His righteousness is mine. The revelation, he's my light and my salvation. That what he did paid the price for my sins. Now I'm saved.
Well, you know, what just popped into my mind is the just shall live by faith. Well, that word translated just is righteous. Same Greek word translated righteous.
Same thing.
The righteous shall live by faith.
Yes,
faith
sir.
In what? Faith that I'm righteous. It just same belongs to me.
It sure does.
Oh, man, that's strong.
And sin consciousness is a thing. You and I were discussing this before the broadcast, but sin consciousness is a thing that tries to grip us and keep us in the low life, where God wants us to rise up to the high life.
Yeah, even when we were dead in our sins, has he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Well, How are you going to sit there and think down there?
There you go.
That's where the rub comes
in.
You know, I've noticed this, Bill, mm-hmm. in times past when people that came out of, people that immigrated to the United States, and they came out of countries that were really mean governments, hard on people, and couldn't do anything. I remember years ago, a good friend of mine that had born and raised in a communist bloc country. We were just having a wonderful time praising God. I was in a full gospel businessman's fellowship meeting, and he told me later, he said, man, he said, even as many years as I've been here, man, yeah, he said, I catch myself looking at the door. You know, man, we making a lot of noise here. If he had still been in the Ukraine, he'd been in danger. His life had been in danger. Well, his mind was still over there, and his consciousness still had some of that in it. If you've still got consciousness of the curse, you've been redeemed from the curse, so that the blessing of Abraham could come on the Gentile, come on the curse, in Christ Jesus. Somewhere down the line, you're going to have a righteousness concept, a righteousness consciousness. It's this conscious mind, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
This everyday thinking thing that is born and raised in this no good, lousy, sorry, junk-filled, dead world that's got to start thinking heavenly. I heard a guy one time say, well, he's so heavenly minded, he ain't no earthly good. Oh, that come right out of hell. He's heavenly minded enough. He's some good to the earth. Yeah, he ain't no good to the earth as long as he's thinking.
Now let's look at a verse here. We wanted to transition over to Hebrews. Let's look at this verse, Ecclesiastes and chapter 10. Very interesting verse. I was studying one time and kind of stumbled up on it. I know the Spirit of God is leading me to it. But it says this. Now, this is coming out of Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And this is a picture of something that the writer, the Holy Ghost, is painting here that is kind of a perverted picture. It's upside down. Something is wrong with this picture. He says this in verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He is saying, wait a minute, something wrong with this picture. The people who are supposed to be ruling are supposed to be on the horse, and the servant's supposed to be the one walking.
Yeah.
There's something wrong here. We got the servants on the horse and the ruler.
You know, Bill, I really honestly believe that when Solomon wrote this, he was seeing into the need of the new birth, and he didn't know what it was. And that's a mystery hidden in Christ.
Yes, indeed.
And he kept seeing this and couldn't figure out what in the world.
Yes, he did.
Because he's still under the pressure of that old
system,
dead system over there. And he could see and he says, man, I don't get this. I don't understand it.
And then if you go down here, look what it says in verse 16. Woe to thee, O land, when the king is a child, and the princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is a son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness.
Yes, sir.
One place I saw here, it was talking about putting a person in a position, and we used to call them a straw boss. Mm-hmm. What happened to me one time is I was going into college, and I wanted to earn my college money. Dad wanted me to earn some of the money to pay for some of the tuition. So we had checked in around. You know, I was brought up in Tuskegee, Alabama.
And I went up to the college there, and they had some jobs. But everybody had gotten the jobs, and they had one job left. And this job was picking tobacco on a tobacco farm in, get this, Hazardville, Connecticut. And now, nothing wrong with the town, but I should have known in my mind that Hazard. That summer, that was the worst summer in my life. Now, I'm going to say it. After the summer matured, I got used to it and so forth like that, and the guy invited me back to come and be one of the people who are over the other folk. I said, that's all right. I appreciate the opportunity, but what I'm telling you is sometimes the boss man would leave and have to go into town and so forth, and he'd leave one of us or the people that were on my level in charge. And they'd get in charge, come over to me, pick that thing up. Oh. I said, man, look here, I'm going to have to knock you out. I said, you see, that's a straw boss. Mm-hmm. See, he really doesn't have the image of a ruler. He's a person who's got a sin-conscious, low-esteem image that somebody then put in authority.
Yeah.
He's gonna hurt somebody.
Poor man with money.
There you go. That's exactly right.
And that Babylonian system out there fosters that. Mm-hmm. You see a guy with a lot of money, that don't mean he's rich. Mm. He just got a bunch of money. And it will accentuate death. It will accentuate problems. Yes. If he got a lot of money, buy more dope.
Mm.
And a poor man with money will kill you over the money. But the righteous, once a man realizes it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And he's the righteousness of God, and he balances that with the love of God. Mm. I have to love with this money. I have to love with this righteousness. I have to love with this authority and take authority over the devil, not other people. You don't demand other people around. But the concept, the conscious part of the guy's got to change, doesn't it? And this is, he's saying, man, I can just hear this. He just said, well, look, there's a bunch of poor people with money, and the only reason they drink is to get drunk, man. They don't drink because they need to drink. They need drinking to get drunk. That's the difference.
That's the difference. And Brother Copeland, this is what God doesn't want. He wants to raise his people up with a righteousness consciousness, with a son consciousness, not sin consciousness. Because up in there in sin consciousness, the condemnation will make you misjudge people or judge people, you know what I mean? Or be mean when it's love and so forth and so on. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, now you are going around to establish your own righteousness, or Paul said, but you've not received the righteousness which is of God. You're trying to get folks to bend down under this law. You can't make the 15 steps forward on Sunday or Saturday, whatever have you. And you're putting them under this. He said, wait a minute now. Righteousness is not something you attain to. It's something you're born into.
Yes, sir. That's all the difference.
That's it right there. And this sin consciousness, you got to watch it because you're always trying to just be good enough for God. Man, if I can, and pretty soon that law will just pull you down. So you're so mean, you're just like a rattlesnake. You see the criticism in everybody. Everybody, look at him, look at them over there. But God said, wait a minute, I'm raising you up as rulers. That drug problem is not their problem. It's your problem. Because you are supposed to get the principles and the culture of the kingdom into those environments that they'll see about.
Get them delivered.
There you go.
Yeah, I see.
There you go.
That's what you're supposed to be doing with money.
That's exactly
what you're supposed
right.
to be doing with your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So that is part of what we talked about.
That translates righteousness over into your daily life, doesn't it?
It does.
And not just the way you act at church, and not just the way us charismatics do it, or us Baptists do it, or us Catholics do it. No. It's what we are in this earth. You're the salt of the earth. Well, what does salt do? It preserves things.
Yes, it does. Mm. Yes, it does.
And see, I believe when people don't know this, a lot of things don't happen. One of the things that don't happen is initiative. I think people are not free to think for themselves. And the initiative to come up with new ideas or to be open to God giving them new concepts and insights and so forth. Why? It's a fear-based thing. It's still over there in that curse-based system. And I believe when the prodigal son said, "Hey, I'm going home," and you know what I do? I'm going home, and to be a servant in my father's house is better than this. Now, I kind of looked at that. I said, you know, he was attempting to import a curse-based system back into Daddy's house, and Daddy wasn't going to allow it.
No, he didn't. That wasn't what his daddy was looking for. Mm. Nope. And he felt so guilty. He had such a guilt consciousness.
Yes, sir.
That in his mind, his daddy wasn't going to have anything to do with him.
That's right.
And he had to humble himself before him, which was fine. Yeah, he needed to go repent to his dad. Yep. He'd done him wrong. Mm-hmm. But in his mind, he made up his little speech where he said, "I'm not worthy to be your son."
That's exactly right.
"I will be a servant in your house if you have me." Well, I mean, this guilt's eating a hole in him, man. He gets up. And he goes home, and he's got his little speech going, you know. And he started saying it word for word. And when he got down to that part about, "I'm unworthy to be a son, I'll be a servant in your household," his daddy cut him off. He wouldn't let him say that.
No, sir.
His daddy said, "Go kill the fatted calf, put a robe on this boy, and put the ring on his finger."
Yes, sir.
Now, the big thing there to me, Bill, when I was coming out of the way I lived when I was running from God, and then when I got saved, I thought, well, you know, I've sinned away my calling and all of that. After all, look what I did before I got saved. You know, I didn't know that it had been wiped out for 4.5 years. Well, when I read that and started studying that, and the word of the Lord came to me, he said, he wasn't looking for more servants. He had servants. It talks about his house full of servants. He was talking to his servants when he said, "Go get the boy a robe and put it on."
Exactly right.
He didn't tell the boy to go home and bathe and get pig stink off of him. He put that robe over top of that pig stink, man, and kissed him on his neck. Nasty thing. And just kissed him anyway. That's his boy, man. I mean, he loved his boy. But the thing that got me was when it dawned on me that calf was the covenant calf.
Yes, sir. Yes, it was.
Blood was shed to get this boy back in this family. Oh, I mean,
see, this is.
I went off like my shirt was on fire, man. I just went wild over there.
Now, look at this. He is saying, get the best robe and put it on the boy. Brother Copeland, I heard Leroy Thompson say this. Notice he didn't say get the one on sale.
No.
See, I believe when you come up to where God wants you, you can ask for the best. And God expects to give you that.
Yeah, Bill, you have to go back to before the foundation of the world.
Yes, you do.
Because he don't change.
No, he doesn't.
He loved us before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. He planned the most outlandish road and life for you forever before the foundation of the world. Adam and the devil didn't get rid of his plans. And before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. So all that time I'm living out there in that pig pen, he did not see me like that. He saw me like he saw me before the foundation of the world. And when I woke up and had sense enough to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then I came into that image he had of me. But he saw me that way all the time.
Now, here's a prodigal son. And the prodigal son came home fine. The father did all this. But there's an elder brother. Now, he was out in the field,
And he came in and heard all this music and celebration. He said, what's going on in there? Well, your brother's come home and your father's killed a fatted calf and having a party for him.
What? You gotta be kidding. He did what?
And he, the father went out and entreated him, tried to get him to come in. And he began to rehearse his brother's past.
Yeah, he did.
That is the devil.
He did.
He will try to rehearse your past to
and
you.
He enhanced it a little bit. He's the one that brought the harlots in there.
That's it.
Ain't nobody said nothing about no harlots but him. Now, it said he squandered it on riotous living. It didn't say nothing about harlots. There may not have been no girls involved. He might have blown the whole thing on gambling or something else.
Exactly. He put it.
But this boy got harlots on his mind, and he ain't even left town.
See, but that's the enemy, isn't it? He's an accuser of the brethren.
Satan's a rat.
Yes, he is. So what happens now is he told him, he said, son, don't you know that all that I had was always yours? Now, this boy was trying to work for it, but this is our inheritance.
Back there at the very beginning, Bill, he split up his living with both those
both
boys.
Both those boys.
He made it.
Yes, he did.
Now, listen, these guys are Jews.
Yes, he did.
These are the sons of Abraham.
Right, that's right.
They made a ceremony of that. Mm-hmm. He gave both those men their inheritance.
Right.
And one of them took it, blew it. The other one didn't even take it.
See, he was trying to work for something that was already his. And people are trying to
work for
righteousness.
If that's not a picture of this,
it's always already ours. And how many things, even a man sat at the gate where the man who was rich was in there and fared sumptuous every day, and the man said the man outside of the gate had sores on him, and he every day was trying to beg the man to give him something, and he desired just crumbs that fell from the man's table. Well, see, that's the problem. Whatsoever you desire, and you pray. See, God gives you the desires of your heart. If you desire crumbs, he'll give you crumbs.
No use in it.
No use in it. We are.
You're not blessed because you're rich. You're rich because you're blessed. Well, you're blessed already.
I see it.
You're rich already. It's the receiving of the righteousness that made the difference. We're out of time.
Praise.
Bill and I'll be back in just a moment.
From the moment the world discovered an empty tomb, mankind's access to divinity no longer knew walls or boundaries. And in the new series, Understanding Our Divinity, Kingdom Mentality, Pastor Bill Winston outlines a central reality for every believer, that through Christ you are the righteousness of God. Divinity is in you. This series examines the practical reality of the fact that the church is not housed in walls, but in the faith-filled hearts of every believer called out to transform the world. Learn what it takes to cultivate the kingdom mentality and how that mentality will change your home, your community, and nations. Understand the divinity that is in you, placed there by the Almighty God, and fear and worry give way to courage and divine confidence. Walk this earth with a kingdom mentality and live free, knowing no lack. Understand the divinity God bestows on every believer and live every day sharing in the victory of the empty tomb. Boundless joy and abundant life.
To request your copy of Understanding Our Divinity, Kingdom Mentality, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new teaching by Bill Winston is now specially priced at just $20 and is available on 4 CDs or DVDs. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Find your place in God's kingdom. Order today.
When you begin to walk in the blessing of Abraham without measure, fullness of blessing will be when you come to the place you have an understanding of your divinity, your divine nature that you receive from the promises of God, so that in your consciousness you have a concept
that I can walk into the presence of the holiest being in the holiest place that exists and sense no guilt nor condemnation. Oh, Brother Copeland, how could I ever do that? How could you even say that? Hey, I have this book, and I've spent 41 years in it, reading it over and over. You are the righteousness of God, and you should have no more sin consciousness. And you need to get hold of information like this of Brother Bill's, Understanding Our Divinity, 4 DVDs or 4 CDs. You need to get both. Like I keep hammering that at you. Get them both. Bring the whole family in there and sit down and just drill this into your children, who they are in Christ Jesus. You get that concept in them, and I'll guarantee you no dope dealer will have any influence on them when they get up to be 14, 15 years old. If they're already 14 or 15 years old, the only thing, you better watch them. They'll take off like a rocket on the righteousness of God. Amen. So get a hold of it. The last Believers' Convention this summer is the Great Lakes Believers' Convention, August the 18th through the 23rd in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Brother Bill is one of our speakers. Gloria and I are going to be there. Jerry Savelle will be there. Jesse Duplantis is going to be there. I tell you, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, I'm in. Man, the whole gang coming to town. Amen. Get your kids in there, the super kids, 6 to 12. Amen. It's a great time for family. You need to be there. Amen. Start the school year off by being immersed in God's Word. Praise God. This is the way to do it. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455.
I'm telling you, the Word works. Speak it into adversities, it will turn around.
And I mean, we are praying, name of Jesus, wielding bunch of believers that'll carry out what God's called us to do in the earth.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.